So a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 66. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mayi Nirbada Riddaya. Sadhava Samadarshana. Vase kurvanti mam bhakya. Sat sriya sat patim yata. Mayi nirbada hridaya. Sadhava samadarshana. Vase kurvanti mam bhaktya. Sat sriya sat patim yata. Mayi nirbada kridaya. Sadhava samadarshana. Vase kurvanti mam bhaktya. Sat sriya sat patim yata. Someone could chant. Matijis. Word for word, Mayi, unto me, Nirbada Hridaya, firmly attached in the core of the heart, Sadhava, the pure devotees, Samadarshina, who are equal to everyone, Vase, under control, Kurvanti, they make. Mam, unto me. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Satstriya, chaste woman. Satpatim, unto the gentle husband. Yata, as. Translation. A chaste woman, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. Purport. In this verse, the word samadarshina is significant. The pure devotees actually equal towards everyone, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakanchati Samarsaveshu Bhuteshu. Universal brotherhood is possible when one is a pure devotee. Pandita Samadarshana. A pure devotee is actually learned because he knows his constitutional position. He knows the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he knows the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Thus, he has full spiritual knowledge and is automatically liberated, Brahma Bhuta. He can therefore see everyone on the spiritual platform. He can comprehend the happiness and distress of all living entities. He understands that what is happiness to him is also happiness to others, and that what is distress to him is distressing for others. Therefore, he is sympathetic to everyone. As Pallad Maharaj said, so che tato vi mukat chetasa indriyarta maya sukaya braram udvahato vimudan. That's from Bhagavatam 7.9.43. People suffer from material distress because they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee's chief concern, therefore, is to raise the ignorant mass of people to the sense of Krishna consciousness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Vaskachate Shatarne. So, as is stated here in this purport by Srila Prabhupada, that the pure devotees are equal to everyone. They understand that Krishna is the original father. As he mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, he's a sea-giving father for all living entities. And thus we are all brothers. So in this way, he treats everyone equally. No matter what form of life the living entity finds himself in. It's not that if we're a human being, if somebody's a human being, they're treated very nicely. But if they're an animal or even a plant, then they're violently attacked or exploited. No, this is demoniac mentality. Such a mentality, Srila Prabhupada mentions that good welfare for all human beings, but simply send the animals to the slaughterhouse for one's sense enjoyment. This is Satan's philosophy. So a devotee, he's kind to all living entities, especially the cows, which are the mothers of mankind, because as the mother gives milk to the children, also the cow gives milk to the whole human race. And as the father provides for the children and brings food to the house, similarly the bull plows the fields and produces food grains. So in this way, these two living entities are very important in a civilized human society. And even the plants, they're protected. Even the trees, Srila Prabhupada mentions this in Srimad Bhagavatam in one of his purports, that the trees should not be cut down to publish rubbish newspapers. He said this is the greatest sinful activity. But they should be used to print Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the actual benefit of the trees like that. So anything that's used in Krishna consciousness, anything that is used for Krishna, they are benefited. Just like if we pick fruits from a tree and we offer those to Krishna, then the plant, the tree also gets benefited. And if we offer, if we use a tree, cut down a tree to print Srimad Bhagavatam, that tree also makes benefit. If we give milk, if we offer the milk from the cow to Krishna, then the cow also makes benefit. So this way everybody's benefited. But if we commit violence upon other living entities, if we exploit them, if we kill them, then they have to suffer more. It's stated that if one, we have to go through 8,400,000 different species of life, and we have to go through a specific species for a certain amount of years. And if that lifetime is cut short, if we unnecessarily kill other living entities, then they have to take birth again in that species. Like a tree may live, some trees live for maybe like 10,000 years. So if they live for 9,000 years and then we just cut them down to print newspapers, then they have to take birth again as that tree and go through another 10,000 years like that. So this is great violence. It's mentioned that a devotee doesn't even like to see a blade of grass unnecessarily cut. He doesn't even want to disturb the plants. The Prabhupada mentions this, how he says, it is mentioned somewhere, he says, that at night we should not pick flowers from the plants. It disturbs them. So a devotee is very, merciful. Because we understand that there's a soul. Everything has a soul. It's not that I could eat the animals because they don't have a soul. This is simply one sentiment that has no scientific basis for it. What's the difference between us and an animal? We eat, the animal eats. We have sex life, the animal has sex life. We sleep, the animal sleeps. We defend, the animal defends. So what is the difference? Every living entity has consciousness, not because its consciousness is not as developed, therefore it has no soul, just like a child. A child is just like an animal, a little two-year-old, just like a monkey or some kind of animal. They have the same intelligence, but... it's not that, that child doesn't have a soul until he gets older. No, it's not a matter of simply being less intelligent or being intelligent when has a soul. No, if one has the symptoms of life, in the body's growing, the body is producing byproducts, has consciousness, just like if you have an ant. If an ant is walking by and you put your finger next to it, it will go around. It wants to protect itself. So the consciousness is there. And so the consciousness is there in everyone, and that's a symptom of the soul. So we have to see everybody as spirit soul, just like in the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's mentioned that in the purport, that this sage, which equal vision sees... treats with eagle vision or sees with eagle vision a brahmana, a dog, a dog eater, an elephant, a cow like that, because he sees that they are all spirit souls, super souls within their heart. So in this way, he sees everyone as a brother and he treats them very nicely. And also in the purport, it's mentioned that the pure devotee, he knows the nature of the soul, the nature of God and the relationship between the two. So what is our nature? Our nature is We are part and parcel of Krishna, just like the gold in the gold mine. So we have all the qualities of the gold mine, but in small, minute quantity. As Krishna is unlimited, as Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, we are also eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But the difference is that we are limited and Krishna is unlimited. We are the servant and he is the master. And therefore, because of our limited position, because we are limited and very small, and because we are the marginal potency, and because we have free will or independence, we could go either way. We could be in the spiritual world or we could come to the mature world. And the fact that we are here now in the mature world shows that we actually fell from the spiritual world because we misused our independence. But that free will is always there. We could also regain our original position and serve Krishna, and in this way being reinstated. But that free will is always with us. If you take away the free will of the living entity, then there's no difference between him and a stone. There's no difference. It's like a stone you just move from here to there. It has no ability to resist. It has no consciousness. So we have to have that. Otherwise, we're nothing. We're just like a dead stone. So we have that relationship with God. God is unlimited. He has six opulences. He has unlimited knowledge, unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, like that. So these are the qualities of God. If one has these qualities, then that's who he is. Then he is God. Not that one claims that I am God, and you know, some crazy people think that they're God, but you ask them, do they know everything? And they cannot. They have to reply, no, I do not know everything. So that's a proof that they're simply fools and rascals. So we have to develop this relationship with Krishna, and this relationship is based on love and service. It's not a business transaction where I give you so much money and therefore, you know, like that, I have to, I want to serve you, Krishna, and I want you to give me some kind of money in return. It's not like that. It's just probably to give an example in the material, and like in the material world, he says like a close example of love of God is between a mother and her child, how the mother just wants to see that her child is happy without considering her own happiness. So this is like the relationship being a God and the living entity. And so so how do we develop this relationship? We develop this relationship by our intense eagerness to serve Krishna. This is how we obtain Krishna, or as Srila Prabhupada mentions, this is how we purchase Krishna, by intense enthusiasm or intense eagerness or anxiety to serve Krishna. So, of course, we know that the spiritual world is known as Vaikuntha, or it is free from anxiety. Kunta means anxiety, and Va means free from. So Vaikuntha is free from anxiety. But it is not. But that refers to material anxiety. In spiritual life, there is spiritual anxiety. Just like Mother Yasoda, she's always fearful that Krishna will get hurt, that he won't eat properly, he will fall into some water or be burnt by fire. So she's in anxiety all that. Always in anxiety. So that's. That's actually spiritual bliss. That is that makes the devotee actually very happy. So in this way, we have to be in anxiety for Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions how this deity worship is an opportunity to develop anxiety for Krishna, to make sure that everything's clean and things are on time. So there's some anxiety there in serving the deity. And by distributing books, Srila Prabhupada wanted so many books distributed, every town and village. So there's anxiety, how am I going to distribute these books? So that anxiety is there. And Prabhupada wanted, he said, I wanted a Varnashram colleges established in America. So this is so much anxiety. How are we going to do this? How is it possible? But by this anxiety, we will obtain the real greatest anxiety, which is pure love of Godhead. And this will increase our bank account, our spiritual bank account, by engaging in Krishna consciousness, by being in anxiety for serving Krishna. Then we will, our spiritual bank account will increase more and more, and then we will be able to purchase Krishna. So as Krishna says here in the translation, he says that the devotees are equal to everyone, and they are completely attached to me in the core of their heart, and they bring me under their full control. So Krishna is under the control of his devotee, just like Mother Yasoda is controlling Krishna. So this opportunity isn't given to anyone except one who is pure in heart. Krishna will not be under the control of anyone except for his pure devotee. For the non-devotees, they can't even see Krishna, what to speak of controlling him. So by this purity, one will be able to purchase Krishna. But this is in love and reciprocation. There's no exploitation. The devotee is always trying to serve Krishna, and Krishna is always trying to serve the devotee. And they are making so many arrangements, just like Prabhupada mentions the example of the Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. They were living in the forest, and one of them was preparing, he was thinking it would be nice to make some nice preparation for either Rupa or Sanatana. And so then one girl came, and she said, she brought some nice food from the village to him, and he thanked her, and he made this nice, different nice preparations. Was it Rupa? Was Rupa made the nice preparations? Okay, and so Rupa made the nice preparations, and then Sanatana Goswami came and said, and he took prasadam, and he said, oh, this is such nice prasadam. How did you arrange all this? And he said, oh, this girl came, and she brought all these things. This beautiful girl came. And so he explained to Sanatana Goswami the description of this girl, and he said, what? That was Radharani. You accepted service from Radharani. So the devotees, they never wanted to accept service from Krishna, from Radharani. But Krishna is always trying to serve the devotees. He always wants that. That's his pleasure. And the devotees always trying to please Krishna. So in this way, there's no exploitation. There's simply a service and love like that. And so Krishna is so kind. We're suffering here in this material world. And stated in the Shrisha Upanishad that he's more sorry than we are for our suffering in this material world. So he wants to bring us back to the spiritual world. And it's stated that he's that if we simply take one step towards him, that he'll take 10 steps towards us. So in this way, he's very desirous to have us back so we could be happy with him. So we have to please, we have to have this anxiety to please Krishna. We have to have the anxiety to please the spiritual master. And how do we please the spiritual master? By following his instructions. So by following his instructions, we would become successful in our lives and go back to home, back to Godhead. So in this way, there are so many instructions given by the spiritual master. And we have to follow all of them with everything that we have in order to be successful. It's not that we matter picking and choosing, I like this instruction, I don't like that instruction. So he gave many instructions, and I just want to talk about basically one. It's a matter of cleanliness. So there's two types of cleanliness. Srila Prabhupada mentions this in many places. There's external cleanliness and internal cleanliness. So external cleanliness means to take a bath like that, keep the body clean, our clothes clean, our rooms clean like that. And internal cleanliness means to keep the intestines, the heart, the mind, and consciousness clean. So this is external and internal cleanliness. So one who is a brahmana, he is known as suci, which means one who is always clean. So suci or saucham means a purity, or it's translated also as cleanliness or neatness. So these are the qualities of a brahmana, and we should follow these principles of cleanliness. And although sometimes it may be difficult because of external circumstances to remain clean, but we must and we should remain clean internally, keep our mind always focused on Krishna regardless of the external circumstances. But this doesn't mean that we should avoid the cleanliness externally. That also must go on. We have to do both things. So so this is very important. This is probably we hear this verse, this saying sometimes, books are the basis, preaching is the essence, purity is a force, and utility is a principle. And I looked this up, and Srila Prabhupada meant the only thing I could find in those four, and among those four, was purity. Prabhupada mentions purity is the force. And so we have to be clean, that among the rules and regulations of a brahmana, the first and foremost is cleanliness. So this is very important in spiritual life, to be clean. And among the qualities of a brahmana, the first and foremost are truthfulness and cleanliness. And by following these, and by maintaining these, then the others will come, namely knowledge, control of the mind and the senses, faith in the spiritual master and the Vedas. So these are the first things, foremost, that we have to focus on. And by following these rules and these rules and regulations, rising early in the morning, chanting 16 rounds, being clean, then our enthusiasm will grow more and more. And by also having patience and determination, then we will attain spontaneous devotional service. This is mentioned in a letter to Karandar in 1972. So to do this, to maintain this cleanliness, to do follow these different instructions of our spiritual masters, such as cleanliness and rising early in the morning, we have to chant 16 rounds a day. Otherwise, it is not possible to remain clean. It's not possible to rise early in the morning. So these qualities of a brahmana, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, such as cleanliness, have to be cultivated in our devotional service in order for us to be successful. It's not, of course, in being in Krishna consciousness, it is stated like automatically these things come, but that doesn't mean that we simply sit back and just take it easy. No, we have to be in anxiety to follow these instructions, to endeavor. Krishna helps us. It said God helps those who help themselves, but still we have to endeavor in this way. We have to think, you know, how could I do, follow this instruction, my spiritual master? How could I keep these things clean? And this way we will become favored by the spiritual master. So with this, but also being clean, we also have to simultaneously be clean and also teach others how to become clean. None of us are perfect, but we are trying to become perfect and teach others how to become perfect. Both of these things must go on parallel lines. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in 1976, he was talking to one Indian gentleman. The Indian gentleman was saying how in our temples in India, the management doesn't see that they are so clean. But you know, your temples, they're clean, he was saying like that. And Prabhupada says, you know, I stress this cleanliness very much. And if they are unclean, I chastise them like anything. So he was very strong on this point, to be very clean and like that. So in this, it's age of Kali, people are becoming more and more unclean. So we have to fight against this. We have to show by behavior what a Brahmin is, what is cleanliness. And so there's different items. Prabhupada mentions how to become clean. He mentions we should take bath 3 times a day. In the famous Varnashrama talk, he mentions, the devotees asked him this is the Varnashrama talk in 1974. And the devotees asked Prabhupada, what are the qualities of a Brahmana and Kshatriya? And he said a Brahmana is one who takes bath 3 times a day. In other places he mentions they take 3 baths a day. They change their cloth also 3 times a day. Not that you simply take a bath and you put on the same clothes you wore, but you have to also change your clothes. So 3 times a day you take a bath, 3 times a day you change your clothes. And also your hands, whatever, Prabhupada said, whatever you eat, you wash your hands. Even if it's a little bit, you wash your hands. Even if you drink even some water, you wash your hands. He mentioned this in a letter to Rupa Nuga. Even if you, he says, he said, even if I take a little medicine, I wash my hand. He says, I show them by example, but still they are not following. You say that, he said, you say that you are learning, but how long will it take you to learn? So we have to wash our hands. We have to, probably say, you keep your, in one letter to Rukmini, he said you should keep your fingers trim and clean. Of course, he mentioned how by shaving your head, it keeps your head clean and light. And this way, the mind will be able to work very nicely. He said that by having your head shaved, by keeping your head clean, you'll be able to keep your mind clean. He said, thus, the Brahmanas, they are clean shaven. He said this in an interview in London, I think it was in 1973. So our head, taking bath, and we should never touch anything dirty to our mouth. This is in a letter he wrote to Satsarup, I think it was 1972. Not to touch anything dirty to the mouth, because the mouth is the most dirtiest part of the body. Just like an infection could be spread very easily through the mouth. Just like the example he gave was in political life in India, to kill an opposing enemy, so what they would do sometimes is they would administer poison to little girls. In this way, they would develop an immunity to the poison, and when they grew up, they would go to the enemy camp and kiss the enemy, and thus he would die. So this is one of the techniques that they would use. So also in deity worship, we have to be very clean before, and Nectar Devotions mentions, before entering the temple, one should wash one's hands and feet after eating. And even it says just entering the temple, one should just wash one's hands and feet before entering the temple. And some people say, well, what about when I come before the deity and I take a little vishadam? You know, what about that? You know, I'm eating in the temple. And there was, I read one conversation. It was with Burijan. And Prabhupada, they were giving laddus in front of the deity, and devotees were eating laddus, and Prabhupada said, that's okay. So a little bit of vishadam is okay. So the mouth is the dirtiest part, and Prabhupada mentions how the non-devotees, the karmis, they wake up late in the morning, and they take tea in bed, and they don't wash out their mouths, and so the germs in their mouths go into their intestines. In this way, their intestines become infected. So in this way, by being unclean, they contact so many different types of diseases. And by keeping the temple clean, the more you clean the temple, the more you clean your heart. So this cleanliness has a direct effect on our spiritual life. And Prabhupada mentions also how the kitchen should be kept very clean. He says, he had one letter he wrote to Adi Ruda, and I think it was 1968. He said that vishadam should never be brought back into the kitchen or put into the refrigerator with unoffered food stuff. This is a very unclean habit. He says that things in the kitchen be prepared very in a very, very clean way, and we should... And by following these rules, this is a sign that we love Krishna. This is a proof of our love for Krishna. So this is a sign. In other words, it's not simply a sentiment. We have to show by action. Just like a mother may say that, oh, I love my child, I love my child. But if she's not taking care of her child, if he's dirty, neglected, then what's the actual love? You know, we have to show our love by our action. And so everything should be clean. The pot should be very clean. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the pot should be as clean on the inside as clean on the outside as they are in the inside. And he mentioned how his mother would, and she had a maidservant, and she would clean the maidservant would clean the kitchen, and if there was even one little spot, black spot, in any of the kitchen utensils, she would have her wash it over again. So that something's actually clean. So all the rooms should be clean. Prabhupada mentions with Mukunda, in a letter to Mukunda, he mentioned that the after taking Bishadam, the Bishadam room should be immediately cleaned, otherwise you're inviting rats. So rats are in so many places. They like to live with human beings, apparently, and so we have to be careful, and we have to be very clean, plus, especially where there's any types of foodstuffs. Otherwise, they will come and start making a mess like that. So we have to also offer things that are clean to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada also wrote a letter to Rukmini that we cannot offer apple juice to Krishna because that is manufactured by non-devotees because they are unclean in their habits and they have no devotion to Krishna. And even something that something may be clean, but if it's kept in an unclean container, then it's also not to be offered to Krishna. This is mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, how it's an offense to offer a flower kept in an unclean pot to Krishna. So these are some of the instructions that are given by the spiritual master. And by following these, we can please him and be happy. As is mentioned in the purport, that a devotee knows what is real happiness, what makes him happy and what makes other people happy. And that's in serving Krishna, not trying to enjoy the material world. Because how could you enjoy the material world when there's birth, death, disease, and old age? Like, what's enjoyment? If you know you're going to die, then how could you have any sense of pleasure? You know, it's like probably the example of here's a beautiful girl, enjoy her, and after you come out, I'll shoot you. Will you enjoy? You can't enjoy. It's simply only a madman could think like that. But you may say, oh well, you know, I'm only 30 years old. I got so much time on my hands, but there's no guarantee that you'll live for 31 years. There's no guarantee at all. And then they were saying, but Prabhupada, that all these, everybody's saying this is a nice place. All the travel brochures say this is a nice place. But Prabhupada mentioned, is a prison house a nice place? You know, is this a nice place, a prison house? And then they said, but Prabhupada, everybody says it's a nice place. Everybody's saying this. Prabhupada said, everybody? I'm not sane. And they said, you're the only one, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I'm the only sane person. That's a fact. So a devotee is the only sane person. Everybody else is crazy. As they say, who is crazy? So we have to remember this, that there is no happiness here in this mature world. This mature world is a temporary place. It is full of suffering. And by remembering this, we will go back to home, back to Godhead. But if we think that this is a very nice place, then we have to remain here. Krishna says, all right, you think it's a nice place, you remain here. So we'll stop there. If anybody would like to have any ask any questions. Yes.
Thank you for a very nice class, Ravindana. I just noticed there's some danger for us as devotees that on the Vyasasan, we speak always very highly, but in practice, those things are not put into practice. And there's many examples which could be pointed out. Like, for instance, we have a very unclean person to clean our deity kitchen, or we have people picking up stool who serve the deities. So how does that fit in with serving Srila Prabhupada and teaching by example?
Yeah, we have to show, like I mentioned before, we have to show by example, no matter what we do. Just like Prabhupada said, our business is to rise early in the morning. But if we don't rise early in the morning and we tell others to rise early in the morning, what will be the effect? There will be no effect. So if we want to be clean, if we want to teach others, just like to mention here, see, simultaneously we have to be clean and teach others how to be clean. So that's teaching by example. So that's the only way we're going to be able to spread Krishna consciousness in a big way. We have to show by example. And that's what will really develop this Krishna consciousness. That's how we're going to attract the whole world. Otherwise, we try our best, we preach Krishna consciousness, but as Srila Prabhupada said, we have to, what we're doing right now is on a small scale. But if we want to do something on a big scale, then we have to show by example. We have to follow all these things if we want to, if we want to make other Brahmins, we have to act like a Brahmin. If we want to have the world run under Vedic principles, then we have to follow those principles ourselves. So this is important, very important. Any other questions?
This gentleman would like to ask a question.
Okay, over there.
The clean and unclean and the shave the head, what do you mean by that?
clean and unclean. So cleanliness is... Oh, the shaved head. So by shaving our head, it's very easy to keep, Prabhupada says, very easy to keep clean. We don't have to worry about so many shampoos, and we save a lot of money. So it's, it makes things more easier to keep clean in that way. And so there's externally and cleaning, internally and externally. So internally means the mind and the intestines. Like Prabhupada says, the intestines, if you eat too much or eat the wrong things, and your intestines become unclean. So by following these hygienic principles, we become clean, and cleanliness is next to godliness. So it's a very, very important aspect in spiritual life. Okay. Any more questions on this? Yes.
Well, regarding someone taking care of animals, there are different considerations with different people who have pets. Like some people actually have pets because they have a need to have a pet. It's been suggested that they have a pet for their psychological needs. So it's not that every devotee is the same, you know, in that regard. The question I had was, as you get older, you physically can't scrub a pot the way you used to. Your hands don't work that way. Your wrists don't work that way. And other things that I've done in cleaning in the altar area, and I can't even climb that high or do those things anymore. So I'm wondering, how does Krishna see that? Like is there some neglect on the part of the devotee if they physically can't clean anymore, or how?
No. Anyway, so the question is, if one's older and one can't clean as much as before, is this Krishna? Are we displeasing Krishna? So the thing is, we have to be as clean as we can. And if we're holding anything back, then that's what's not wanted. So, you know, like if you're young, and like Prabhupada mentions, like cleanliness, he mentioned that instead of cleaning, I'd rather sleep. So, you know, that's what's not wanted. We have to engage all our energy in serving Krishna, but if we instead spend our time in sense gratification, then that's to our fault. And cleaning also, if you clean something right away also, then it becomes easier to clean. If you just let it pile up and up and up, it becomes very, very difficult. So we should catch it while it's not so dirty. And, you know, anyway, somebody has to clean. Like Prabhupada mentioned how his mother had a maidservant clean the dishes. She wasn't cleaning them, but she had somebody do it. So, you know, somebody has to do it. Not necessarily ourselves, but it should be done. And we shouldn't tolerate it not being done But either we do it or we have somebody else do it.
I just have one more question. Sometimes devotees will say, well, I'm not going to rinse this because it's a waste of water. They just dust it off.
It's a waste of water. No, that's not our philosophy. You know, we use water for purification. Prabhupada says, actually, water is sufficient itself for purification, not even using soap. You said simply water. So this is, you know, we have to use water like that. It's not waste. Anything that's used in Krishna's service is not a waste. You know, if you're wasting it and you're not using it in Krishna's service, then that's a waste. So that's the definition of waste.
The definition of waste is not using
Krishna's service. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, just one more question. Charanotam.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. So in terms of cleanliness, when we are outside engaged in preaching activities, sankirtan or any other preaching activities, sometimes we're in situations which is difficult to maintain that standard of being paka, clean. Mm-hmm. So that means that this higher principle of preaching sometimes, so this principle of cleanliness So it gets below the principle of preaching. Can we take it like that?
Anyway, there's different types of cleanliness or different ways of taking bath. One could simply take bath by mantra, chanting Hare Krishna. But if one's at the temple, like if one's engaged in deity worship, then one should take a bath regularly, many times. And there's also state public. You know, he mentioned like ideally one should take bath 3 times a day, but he also in one letter he mentioned at least 2 or not less than 1 a day. And also, it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that a brahmachari should take bath was once a day, grihasthas twice, and I think at vanaprastha and sannyasis 3 times. So according to the circumstances, one may have to adjust, but at least one should take bath 3 times a day, and ideally, if at all possible, 3 times a day. Okay? All right, so we could stop there. Jaya Gloi Shishi Shri Guru and Gauranga Gloi Srila Prabhupada.